Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Most anything regarding our children tugs at our hearts. And some things that I may say now will be disturbing to some, but they're not said to condemn. They're really said to encourage those who still have an opportunity to rear their children properly. What is said may also be a source of consolation and comfort to those whose children have disappointed them. We do not want to add to the hurt of anybody. We only want to offer help. And we may not do that, but we want to try. And we shall approach this subject, when children go wrong, from the vantage point that what we might do, what we might say, how we can encourage, how we might guide, offer some word that will be of assistance to both parent and to children that have gone wrong. Now, it's not uncommon anymore to hear about a son who gets involved with drugs, or a daughter who gets pregnant out of wedlock, young people who have quit the church, they've run away from home, or they've ruined their marriage. It seems all the efforts parents have made sometimes to rear their children have been wasted, and the children have turned against them and turned against their training. These things are all too real, and they are frequent. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be diligent, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And today, many people are severely hurting because of such things. They are carrying great burdens in their heart. They are very disappointed in their children. Now, while they may take pride in them in some matters, such is not true in the most important matter, the children's loyalty to God. The parents tried, but now they are deeply hurt, and much joy is drained away from their life. Friend, if this be your lot, you are not alone. Now, I know that that brings no comfort, but it is a fact. You are not alone. Parents burden themselves sometimes with guilt, and they ask, "Where did I go wrong?" And many times they did go wrong, but not always. But they have regret, and they don't understand why things are as they are. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 places great responsibility on the parent, as does Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And some are sure that they have failed somewhere along the line. Well, possibly so. But the parent may not have been totally at fault every time the child goes wrong. You see, the child must go the way that he is trained, and all children do not do that. Doing your parental duty does not deprive the child of his power of personal choice, and it does not take away his personal responsibility. If one could not behave contrary to his rearing, it would be impossible to convert a person who was reared in sin and bring him to righteousness. And while this does not minimize parental duty, it does say loudly that it is not the parent alone who is at fault when children go wrong, and there is a real possibility the parent is not at fault at all. Much depends upon the child, and also other influences that come in the life of a child over which the parent may have no control. Now, assigning blame may not seem appropriate, but it is well that we notice parental duties, and we need to know the need of the proper behavior on the part of parents, the right examples, and providing the right teaching. But you see, friend, even God does not keep his children faithful unless the child cooperates with God. And if God cannot do it and does not do it, how do we expect to do it? Now, there are no perfect parents, just as there are no perfect children. But when a parent has been at fault, he or she needs to repent and to seek God's forgiveness. Now, it may be too late to change the direction of the child, but the parent's soul can still be saved. The consequences may always be suffered by both parent and child for parental failure, just like suffering will be caused by children's lack of cooperation with their training. But whoever is at fault, and whatever the fault may be, it can be forgiven when God's terms are met in humble obedience. Now, assigning blame may not be helpful at this point. Wrong has been done somewhere, that's sure. That's the truth always when somebody goes wrong. But where do we go from here? We cannot undo what has been done. And will things be better? Can they be better? We must start now from where we are. Let us make a few suggestions that we are sure are practical and they are workable. And these suggestions are not to be viewed as solutions, however. Only repentance and the return of the child to the fold of God solves the problem. But to the parents, I would say, don't burn all your bridges. Try to maintain some contact with your child. How can you be an influence for good if there is a total void of communication? Harsh words, barriers, bitterness, that will only aggravate the situation. Now, this does not mean you want to leave the impression you condone their unfaithfulness. You should never do that. And it may not be easy, seeing the keen disappointment that you suffer, to keep from constantly reminding your child of his neglect. But when you know clearly right from wrong, and you know your child knows right from wrong but does not live accordingly, this is not an easy situation. And the entire situation is not one that loans itself to ease. But anger and arguments and cutting words will not be productive or helpful for an eventual restoration, which is, of course, the goal. And if you as a parent, you've missed your opportunity by your own fault and by your own neglect, ask God to forgive you. You've been guilty of making matters worse since your child went astray. Ask both the Lord and your child to forgive you. It is never wrong to admit your own errors. And do not give up on your child. There may be times when you feel you are losing the battle. But you cannot afford to give up, for then you have truly met defeat. To not give up may be the very trying thing for you, but it may be what will keep your child from turning away and there never be any reconciliation between you and your child or between your child and God. Many parents have just about lost hope that one or more of their children will ever come to Christ, and still, the parent must work in that direction. The parent must hope. He cannot give up in his hope, not only for his own welfare, but for that of the child. And you keep in mind, your child may not act like he is disappointed in himself, but very likely he is. And all spark of desire to do right is not fully extinguished. You may not live to see the day when your child comes to Christ, or maybe is restored. Many people are not converted until later in life, after faithful parents have gone to their reward. And they die, their hearts grieving because their children were not saved. But parent, if you will persist and never give up, possibly this will in time so influence your child that he will favorably respond to the Lord's call. Possibly he will not, but many have, and your child may also, and it may be even after you're gone. You cannot afford to ever give up. Your hope may be the only avenue and source of hope for the child right now. I recall a circumstance where a faithful preacher's daughter became an atheist. Now, you can imagine the heartbreak of the preacher and his wife. I might add here hurriedly that this daughter eventually was restored, however. You may have to swallow your pride, parent, for you surely are embarrassed when your child goes wrong. You wonder what others think of the child. You wonder what they think of you. It hurts so much. What will the neighbors say? What will the brethren think? My child has quit the church. It matters to you. But parents, you must put that aside as best you can and keep going. Again, like these other suggestions, this one is not easily done. Your pride may well be offended. You'll have to learn to swallow your pride when your child goes wrong. And we have to learn to give our children the control of their lives. Having been their watchman for so long, this is not a trifle task. But they must know that you are no longer responsible for their soul. It's up to them whether they go to heaven or whether they go to hell. You might have to consider canceling financial help, if such you are providing. You, as a child of God, cannot afford to finance the works of the devil, even if they are being done by your own flesh and blood. But constantly shaming them will likely repel them. Once they know of your strong disapproval of their waywardness, then you have to just let it be as it is, whatever that might be. And parent, protect yourself. It is most difficult to accept, but it may well be that in dealing with your wayward child, you are dealing with one who is very insensitive to your feelings or to your convictions. And while you care so much for them, they may not care in return as they ought. It is not selfish under those conditions to protect yourself from having your feelings walked on. Your child may play on your emotions and even promise many things in order to get from you whatever he wants, whether it be money or approval or commendation or acceptance or whatever. Then before you know it, your emotions are crushed once again. Don't let that happen. Don't allow yourself to be his doormat and to be used by him, keeping you ever upset, imposing his ways, which you deplore, upon you. You do not have the obligation to provide him a place to sin, whether it be for drinking or adultery or any other such sin. Let him know that sinful behavior will not be permitted at your house, and that he either conforms to that which must be right, or he must find another residence. The Lord's will must come first with you before the whims of a rebellious child. Oh yes, you're concerned about them, but they should not be permitted to crush your every waking moment and to crush the times of joy because of their conduct and attitude. You have to pull away enough to let him fall into the hands of God's providence whichever way he goes. And continue in prayer. Of course, you should never cease to pray for the wayward child. Don't you know the father of the prodigal was ever looking down the road, longing for that day when the son would return home? But you are God's child. You have the right to pray. The fruition of your prayer may not even come in your lifetime, however, but continue in prayer and love your child. And this is probably a superfluous reminder, because your concern is evidence of your continuing love. But love the child in the sense of always seeking his highest good. And you will not seek his good if you ever compromise with his sinfulness. Be always ready to meet him more than halfway if he ever decides to come back. Let him know that's your attitude, but the decision rests with him, because you can't do it for him. And be ready to receive him back if he comes back. If he repents and returns, then let the past die. It was so hard to see him go away because you knew he was going the wrong direction. But leave the door ajar. Let him know it awaits his return, and let him know it is his move. And parent, above all else, keep God first in your own life, or else both you and your child shall suffer condemnation. God is the source of our strength, our hope, the anchor of our soul. We dare not let anyone, even those so close to us as children, come between us and God. Our loyalty is to God before our loyalty is to our children. I want to just address those who have seen the wayward ways of children of other people. Surely, if we be of the Christ-like spirit, we grieve for them as well as for the child. This may not be our burden in life, and it may not be because we have been so much better parents. It may be because conditions and circumstances have been so different. It may be that under like conditions we may not have done as well. But be thankful if your home has not been victimized by children who've gone wrong. But be sympathetic and kind toward those who have been hurt. Don't avoid them. Be friends. Usually we are so afraid we will say or do something that will be wrong and make matters worse. It's that way when you speak with an orphan child, a widow, or someone terminally ill, or a divorcee. You may not do exactly the best in every instance, but being aloof, as if you no longer care, that's far worse than a thoughtless or ignorant blunder. We can correct those things, but they need our presence. Be ready to listen if they ever wish to discuss it, but let them introduce the subject lest you reintroduce more pain. It's already so painful for them, but show your interest in their welfare. And when a child goes wrong, that's not the time to offer to the parent unsolicited advice. That's not the time to give rebukes. And be sure to respect their privacy. Don't pry for details. If they speak with you in confidence, be sure to respect that confidence to the utmost. Do not talk about their situation to others unless it is a proper effort to give genuine assistance. The less said on the conditions of departure from God's way may be the better course to follow. Look for opportune times to assist in recovering the fallen. And remember the admonition in Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Help the suffering parents to know their own worth. Having experienced this tragedy in life, they may now be better equipped to help others more than ever before who are also beset with such things. Help them to see their usefulness. They're not total failures. Yes, their loved ones have hurt them. So do not hurt them further. But as I stated earlier, these things that I brought to your attention, they are but suggestions. They're not the real solution. The real solution for a child who has gone wrong is that the child repent and return to God and be received again. It will try the limits of one's patience, possibly. It may take some time. It may even take longer than your life. Be aware that it may never happen. But what is past, and you have to do your best from this point forward. You have to forget, to some extent, the past, and press on, or else your own soul may be lost. After all, what else can you do? And in closing, let me say a closing word addressed to children. Children, you be careful what you do and what you say and where you go and how you treat your parents. And if you put God first in your life, you will deal with your parents properly. That's a part of being a Christian. Like the loyalty of your parent, it must be toward God before anybody else. Your loyalty must be toward God even before your parents. But avoid causing pain and grief unnecessarily. Dear listener, I truly wish that there was something more constructive I could pass along to you who have suffered with children who have gone wrong. I only pray that God will bless you as you deal with it. May it be that all will be well with you and your soul, but above all else, stay with God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.